If you take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be in this passage for a few weeks, I think. We talked a couple weeks ago about how Satan baits us. This morning I want to just look one more time at these verses and get into them a little deeper than what we did a couple of weeks ago, detecting and dealing with the enemy. If you've done any reading on your own from this passage from the last couple weeks, you'll notice that Paul has been discussing the believer's walk. Now here in chapter 6, he suddenly jolts his readers and his hearers, and he changes course. Paul is good at that. He says there's another way to look at a believer's life in Christ. I'm not sure if you understand this. That's why I kind of wanted to go over this. But the believer's life is a battlefield. What he means is that immediately upon receiving Christ, the believer finds himself in a constant struggle. He is engaged in an unending war. He is a combatant, a soldier in conflict. His calling is not to a life of enjoyment and ease, but to a life of hard conflict. There are foes within and foes without, for sure. We fight those things within us and then those that are outside of us. From the cradle to the grave, there is a constant struggle against the lust of the flesh and the temptations offered by the world and by Satan himself. I wrote here, if you rush into the fight unprepared, you will not be successful. The battle rages today. It still does. A battle that we as Christ followers must fight every day. Let's just look at verse 12 of chapter 6, if you would. Something we looked at a couple weeks ago. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Our enemy, the devil, continues to try to bring down our faith, take over our hearts, and stop the spread of the gospel. He is called the wicked one in verse 16, and he always will be our enemy. As a Christian, Satan is your enemy, and he is experienced, and he is skilled. I think it's important to know how to detect and deal with our enemy. But unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who believe that their Christian life is a cruise ship. I mean, if you listen to some of these TV evangelists, you'll hear them say that the Christian life is all fun and roses. It's not. The Christian life is not a cruise ship. But the fact of the matter is that the Christian life is a battleship. Have we entered the battle unprepared? Do we know about the enemy that we fight? Do you? Do you know the enemy that we're in war with? Let me ask you this morning. Are you dressed for the battle? All good questions. In chapter 6, Paul expounds on the warfare of the Christian. Spiritual combat requires being aware of the enemy and being controlled by the Lord. These verses reveal some truths about detecting and dealing with the enemy. If you're following this outline on the back of your bulletin, number 1, the revelation of the enemy, verse 12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Many people in the church are passive about this spiritual battle. They really don't buy into any of it. Is that what you this morning? You just figure this is just all nonsense? But really, the fact of the matter is, if you're a born-again Christian here this morning, you do not have the luxury of not wrestling. The Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Folks, we're at war with the enemy of our Lord, and he's the enemy of our lives as well. That word wrestle means to struggle. Warren Wiersbe wrote, "The fact that Paul used the word wrestle indicates that we are involved in hand-to-hand battle and are not mere spectators at a game." He says we are called to wrestle against the enemy. End of quote. This is not a college wrestling where they put a little headgear on, wear a funny little outfit, and lock up and try to pin each other to win the match, and then they all pack up and go home. The Greek wrestling match was much more serious. It was a matter of life and death. The person who was pinned with his shoulders down and the head to the ground would have his eyes gouged out, or he would be put to death. This was a struggle where they fought to the finish, with each one giving everything they had, because, you know, their life depended on it. In the first part of verse 12, Paul reveals the truth about the struggle. We are at war, but not with flesh and blood. Our struggle is not with our parents, our in-laws, our spouse, our children, or our neighbors, or our co-workers. The problem is found in the spiritual realm. Satan and the demons may indeed use people, but the people are not the real problem. Lehman Strauss, in his commentary to Ephesians, wrote this: "Our enemies are not people. We must see beyond people. Satan may use people to persecute us, lie to us, cheat us, hurt us, or even kill us. But our real enemy lurks in the shadows of the unseen world," he says, "moving people as pawns on a chessboard of time. As long as we see people as enemies and wrestle against them, we will spend our time, our strength, in vain. We must realize who we are fighting, who the real enemy is." And today, I think we're doing a little bit of counterintelligence in this war and trying to prepare our hearts and minds for this battle. Lehman Strauss continued to write, "On the battlefields of earth, we can match the enemy man for man and plane for plane. For here we resist human strength. But the struggle against Satan is not a physical one. It is against wicked spirits in darkness, against an enemy we cannot see. No soldier has ever entered a more difficult and dangerous war," he says. "To be ignorant of the nature of the conflict and the enemy is to invite calamity in our spiritual lives. Satan and his kingdom are arrayed against us. If you have not realized it before," he says, "we need to learn it now." End of quote. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood until we realize that we will be frustrated and defeated in this battle. We need to be awakened to the war and alert about the real enemy. Remember, folks, we're not on a cruise ship. We're in a battle. As Christians, all of us face the world in which we live and are confronted with the need to do battle with the evil that dominates it. We need to realize where the source of that evil is. First of all, we must conquer the evil that is pouring forth from our own heart. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then, to deal with the evil around us, we need the spiritual armor that God has provided for us. And we're going to go through each piece of armor over the next couple of weeks. When the Lord comes, he will rule with a rod of iron. But until then, we must realize who the enemy is. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember that. Secondly, let's just look at the ranks of the enemy. And the reason I'm doing this is just to make you aware. Maybe you're not. Maybe you don't even really know this is going on behind the scenes. But let me just go through the ranks of the enemy here. Look at verse 12. "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." In verse 11, the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Our enemy is the devil. But that is not all. We face all of his servants. Many people are inclined to think of Satan as more or less the equal of God. Is that how you feel? Do you think Satan is an equal to God? I know a lot of folks do. That's not true. It is true that he is a counterpart to the greatest of the unfallen angels, like Michael and Gabriel, but he is not a spiritual counterpart to God. God is God. God is omnipotent. That is, he is all-powerful. The devil is not. God can do anything he wishes to do. The devil, like the rest of us, can only do what God permits him to do. This is God's universe, not the devil's. Not even hell is the devil's. God has created hell as the place where he will one day confine Satan and his followers. Just let me say, the devil is not omnipresent. Remember that. He cannot be everywhere at one time. The devil is not omnipotent. He does not have all power. His power is limited. The devil is not omniscient. He does not know everything. He is limited. But understand this. He is smart. He is powerful. And he has legions of demons that carry out his plans and his purposes. Because the enemy is very complex, with the devil being the leader and head of the evil army. We refer to the devil many times. I do this. When I refer to the devil, I refer to his mass of hosts. Let me keep reading on here. The truth is that we probably rarely ever face the devil himself one-on-one. I know our old pastor used to say that. You think Satan's interested in you? No, I don't think so. I think Satan is doing bigger and better things. But I do know this. We do face the demons of hell constantly. When I make reference to the devil, I refer to him, but also to the demons that he uses. In this verse, Paul gives us the ranks of the devil's army. The devil's army is organized. They have clear strategies, and they work together to accomplish Satan's goals. They're organized to carry out the will of Satan. Let's look at these ranks just briefly here. We see principalities. It says, but against principalities there in verse 12. Principalities is translated as chief ruler or magistrate. The principalities in Satan's army are like five-star generals in the army. This is the highest-ranking official in the devil's army. The principalities have power to rule and lead other demons into battle. They lay out the battle strategy and report to their commander-in-chief, who is Satan. These high-ranking officials in Satan's government, Paul tells us, the church that we wrestle against them. They are our opponent. They are against us, and they seek to do Satan's bidding. The principalities are not ignorant. Well, in one sense, they are ignorant, because they are fallen angels who used to worship at the throne of God, and then they rebelled with Satan and were cast out of heaven. But now they work diligently, tirelessly, and persistently to destroy God's church, defeat God's children, and damn God's creation to hell. The principalities are hard at work and diligent in the battle. We battle against principalities. Then it says powers, against principalities and against powers. The word power is used for a delegated authority or for the freedom and right to exert power. There is a whole host of wicked, evil demon spirits against us. This ought to wake us up to the reality of a spiritual combat. Their purpose. They seek to do their commander's will by deceiving, defiling, dividing, and by destroying. They use their power to deceive the saints and the sinner. They use their power to defile people in sexual, sensual, and selfish sins. They use their power to divide families, divide marriages, divide churches, end friendships, and mess up nations. They use their power to destroy people's health and their peace. They want to destroy the lives and their souls. They rejoice at the blindness of man and the hardness of man's heart and not believing the truth and receiving the truth. They are thrilled that mankind, for the most part, has rejected the facts about their existence. Has any of you ever read Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis? I threw that book, my book at home is all beat up. It talks about all this and how easy we fall to Satan's schemes, even as believers we do. I threw that book across the room a couple of times because as I read this, it really angers me. It angers me a lot. But folks, we are in a spiritual battle, and these forces are truly against us. I want you to understand that. This is for real. It's not some kid story we tell. These demons will destroy you if you give them a little bit in your life. They will. I want you to understand that this morning. Then we see the present rulers. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood," verse 12, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." Paul tells us that we wrestle against the rulers of darkness of this age. Barnes, in his Barnes Notes, says, "Darkness is a sign of ignorance, misery, and sin, and no description could be more accurate than that of the representing these spirits as ruling over a dark world." We live in a dark world that is opposed, that is oppressed by the devil, ruled by the devil, and much of it is subjected to the devil. Write down 1 John 5:19. I like this verse. It says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." As you watch the news and you see read papers and look on the internet at the news, can you see that? Can you see the devil is ruling our world today? You really can. I can't believe the things that are going on in our world today. These present rulers are under his sway. We battle against the rulers of darkness of this age. This is not just something that happened in the past, but this tells me that this is an ongoing battle. They ruled darkness in Paul's day, and they rule the darkness in our day. Satan keeps people in a state of spiritual, philosophical, religious, political, social, and personal blindness. He has invented every false religion and is behind every false philosophy, every false ideology, and every false theology. The world rulers have implemented philosophies in this world that has resulted in the loss of countless lives, the spread of incurable diseases, and the oppression of God's church. Evolution is a doctrine of demons. Abortion is murder and is from the heart of Satan. Since 1973, there have been over 50 million legalized murders with no one brought to trial, no one convicted, and no one sentenced. But you know what? They haven't stood before King Jesus yet. Homosexuality is not an alternative lifestyle. It is sin and perversion from the heart of Satan. Communism has suppressed many and bound many and killed many. Humanism has rejected God and the Word of God and promotes self-interest and godless activities. Terrorism takes lives, sneaks in, destroys, and is out for its own gain. And then the saddest one to me is false religions. Has bound many up for the days of wrath, and many have gone to their graves thinking they are right, when they have been deceived by the devil and his demons. Folks, we wrestle against these principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness, and then it says, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We fight against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We are against them, and they are against us. They bring to this world rebellion, sexual sins, sexual perversion, and they promote every deviation from the truth that we see today. Lehman Strauss said in his commentary, "It is well," he said, We need to bear in mind that they have no moral principles, no code of honor, no higher feelings, no scruples, and no Geneva Convention to restrict or partially civilize the weapons of their warfare. The devil and their demons do not fight fair. They are underhanded, they're sneaky, and they attack from the front and from the back. They will attack you through the ones that we love, the ones that we live with, and he will even use you if you will let him. Satan has a host of wickedness in high places. There are ranks of angels, and there are ranks of demons. The ranks of the enemy are busy battling against the church of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, as we went through this, you say to yourself, how in the world do we stand a chance? Do we stand a chance? What can I do? You know, my point is. Then look at point number 3 in verse 13. Look at verse 13. If you're taking notes, point A is resisting requires being properly dressed. Resisting requires being properly dressed. Paul says here in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. If we're going to resist the devil, we must be obedient to God. We are called to resist the enemy. And if we're going to ever make a difference in this world for Jesus, we must be armed for battle, and we must be active in the battle. Resisting the enemy requires that we be properly dressed. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he devour. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We have a clear call from Scripture to resist Satan. God has supplied for us the armor of God. Note that Paul didn't tell us that God would put the armor on for us. You don't get up in the morning, stretch your arms, and say, okay, God, put this armor on for me. He doesn't do that. He told us that we need to arm ourselves. It is our responsibility to take the armor of God. It is your personal and primary duty to put on the armor of God, which will protect you from what the enemy wants to do to you. Let me ask you this morning, how much of the armor are you wearing today? Do you know? Maybe you don't, but that's why I wanted to go through this, so we can understand what God requires of us. And so you don't have to get beat up by Satan and his minions. You don't have to as a believer. That's the nice thing about this. God has supplied all of it for us. It's just that sometimes we just don't care. We don't want to do it. Oh, it might be a little more work for me in the morning. Let me just say, you cannot resist the devil and the demons in your own strength. We must put on the whole armor of God. That word take up I circled in my Bible. It's an action word that stresses our part in the spiritual warfare. And you know, this is the second time within these three verses that we are told to put on the whole armor of God. This was important to Paul for the church because it is important to God for the church. God wants us to be properly dressed. He has given every born-again Christian the proper dress and how to wear it. Just in this passage here, you can read that on your own when you leave here today. When we are not properly dressed, we give the devil and the demons place to get in and to cause havoc and to ruin our lives. Have you heard the old saying, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile? Well, you know, that's about right. It is. He seeks to destroy our lives. We have a responsibility to surrender to the Lordship of Christ and take a bold stand against Satan and his demons. Whatever part of your life Jesus is not Lord of, the demons are going to get in. The war is real, and the demons are real, and we must be properly dressed to resist them. In verse 13, we've learned that resisting requires being dressed properly. And then the second point, in closing, resisting results in being provided deliverance. Resisting results in being provided deliverance. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When we have on the armor of God, we have the power to stand. Why is it that so many Christians are falling away from the church, falling into sin, falling out of fellowship, falling into the clutches of Satan? Let me just say, when we are not properly dressed, we will not have provided deliverance. When we put on the whole armor of God, deliverance is provided for us. Paul says that we may be able to withstand. This happens, he said, we may be able to stand. This happens because we do not have on the armor of God. We are not dressed for the battle. And the Lord Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, and he has already defeated the power of the enemy. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Turn back a couple of pages, if you would, please. I want to read verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 1, 19 through 22. These are awesome verses. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all the church. Amen. When we surrender to Jesus, that does not mean that everything is going to be easy street. The attacks are going to intensify, and the battle is going to rage against us. Even with that promise, we still have power to stand. Every day is an evil day as long as Satan and the demons roam this earth. We are to do all that we can to stand, and God requires our surrender and our stance. We are to do all to stand. Does that sound like what you are doing? Are you doing all the standing against the enemy? Or do you easily give in to the attacks of the enemy? As a thought about this, I just wrote a thought down here. Think about what this means. How deeply God's heart must be cut and hurt when we sin. We are believers, persons from whom God gave his son to die. When God paid such a price, actually casting the wrath, his wrath against his own son because of sin. Think about how much he must hurt when we sin, especially when we profess to love him. The devil is a slanderer. He will constantly slander us before God. He will use our sin to hurt God as much as possible. Heaven is leaning over the battlements and watching. Will he stick with it? As they see who is with us, as they see the unlimited reserves and boundless resources, as they see the impossibility of failure, how sad they must be when we run away, when we fail. I wrote here, God, glory to God, we are not going to run away. We're going to stand. Is that your resolve this morning? Will you stand against the enemy? Will you put on the whole armor of God? Will you fight against the devil and his ranks? God calls for all of us to be Christian warriors and engaged in this spiritual combat. Would you surrender to Jesus today? There might be some of you here this morning that are bound in sin and deceived by Satan. You are lost, and you need to come to Jesus and be saved today. All you need to do is place your faith in the Lord Jesus and repent of your sin, and you will be born again. Satan doesn't mind you belonging to a local church down here as long as you don't belong to the eternal church with the Lord. Do you know Christ as your Savior this morning? I hope you do. Do you have on the full armor of God today? I hope you do. We're going to talk more about this next week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all you've given us, Lord, to win this battle, Lord, and to be able to stand here on earth, Lord, and how we ignore it, Lord, and don't listen to it, and how Satan gets a foothold in our lives and helps us to react wrongly to this thing and wrongly to that thing, and we fail so much, Lord. And it's only because we don't pay attention to the spiritual war that we're in, Lord, and we don't wear our armor the way we should. I believe we're sloppy about it, Lord, and I just pray that it will help us to understand and become good soldiers, Lord, and put the armor on the way it should be worn. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do this. Lord, I just pray now as we take communion and have communion together, I pray that you'd work in each of our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.